The Curious Couple, Episode 31.
You're tuned into The Curious Couple for the Curious Ear with your hosts, TNA. Get ready to have your curiosity piqued while exploring what it's like to live out fantasies with this fun, fit, and sexy duo.
Hey guys, welcome back. I'm T.
And I'm A.
It's been a while. Thanks for tuning back in. We've got a special guest today. As you guys know her as Sam the Unicorn. Welcome, Sam.
Hey.
Hi, Sam.
So,
our lifestyle lives have been a little boring lately, so we're having to kind of live vicariously through you. I think it's safe to say that, right?
Sure. Well, you guys, I've seen you not too long ago. It hasn't been too long, but
well,
in person anyway.
Yeah, since the listeners last heard our last podcast was from the pool party, and that's when we last saw you. So,
yeah.
But, yeah.
Seems like an eternity.
It does feel like an eternity.
See, that just feels like last weekend to me.
So, by chance, did you listen to our last pool party podcast?
I did.
Any critiques or corrections that you heard?
The only thing I can remember right now, A's going to kill me.
Oh,
the only
ahead.
Thing I can remember right now is, and I was texting George, too. A said something like, you know, there were so many good-looking guys there. It was unbelievable. And then, like, you know, these single guys were so easy to talk to. And I'm like, damn it, A, that's because I busted my ass working on the guest list. And
oh, yeah.
Like 3 weeks. I'm like, that's not a happy accident. Like, mama worked hard to make that happen.
Well, I appreciated that work, but I also didn't know how much of that was related to the fact that I couldn't have sex. Like,
no, it was all me.
Well, I recognize your hard work for sure, but I felt like a kid in a candy store with, you know, they kept spat in my hand. Nope, can't have any of that.
Listen, if it makes you feel any better, I had sex with exactly one person that night.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah, but I think it was somebody that you were admiring.
Oh,
so.
Probably, yeah.
Well, still, I'm sure it was.
So why all the hard work and then...
You know, it just happens when you're a hostess. It's like, I'm always in, I'm moving and shaking and not fucking. I don't know.
Do you like that? Do you prefer that?
No.
Yeah.
No, I want to. I mean, it's just, it's like, I'm a kid in a candy store too.
Yeah.
And everybody's having such a great time. I'm like, wait a minute. Like, I keep missing the timing somehow, you know?
Hmm. Like, well, you're busy almost trying to make sure that everybody
exactly.
is having a good time and.
I'm facilitating and then I forget to like get in on something. And by then everybody's going already and there's not really a place to slide in, if that makes any sense.
Oh, I'm sure you could jump in anywhere you wanted.
No, I feel like every time I try, it's like all the penises are taken. I don't know. Just me. I'm sure it's just me. You know, I don't want to horn in on anybody else's action, but
that's funny.
Yeah. Eventually I'll just go to a party and sit there, but
well, speaking of, since we're on the single guy subject, you were just mentioning before we got on the podcast that you were getting together with some of your friends in the lifestyle, single ladies and women from couples, and tell us a little bit about what conclusions you were coming to.
Dallas, well, you know, the ongoing struggle, hashtag swinger problems, is that... finding great single males is very, very hard. I'm sure you have experienced that problem as well. There are so many out there and so few are great. And so at these parties, I've sat down and talked to, there's only a couple of other unicorns in town right now, actually, but them and then a couple of the wives who also play with single males. And we started realizing when we started telling stories that we all had exactly the same experiences with the same guys.
So tell us some of these stories, bad stories,
well,
humorous stories,
all of the above or good.
Okay.
Yeah.
But typically it's bad. And okay. For instance.
Yeah. Like what makes it bad?
Well, okay. So there's four of us sitting around and we're talking and one of the women there had a party and at that party, one of the other women there had a bad experience with a single male that the first had invited. And the woman who had the party had no idea that this had happened because there's a million people at your house and a lot of things happen and you don't hear about it all.
Sure.
You know, I wouldn't know if something happened at one of my parties unless someone, you know, specifically came up and told me. So she was talking about it. I think I brought it up because I wanted the hostess to know what had happened so that she didn't invite him again, kind of situation.
Can we say what exactly happened?
Okay, so the first experience, the wife was saying, I went upstairs and went into a bedroom to get my things, and this guy came in and cornered me. Mm. And it made me uncomfortable because I was alone and my husband wasn't with me. We only play together. Yeah. And I said, I need to go find my husband. And he kept on and kept on and sort of stood between her and the door. And she got really uncomfortable. And she's not a very forceful person, you know, and mm-hmm. she was just more and more uncomfortable. And he sort of blocked her way. Ugh. Going on like 5 minutes or so. And she was just really creeped out and sort of ran out of there and grabbed her husband and they left. And she didn't want to tell him at the time because she was afraid there'd be a scene or he'd say mm-hmm. something. You know what I mean? She didn't want to make things uncomfortable for anybody. She just wanted to leave.
Right.
So they left. Well, she had mentioned it to me. And the next time we were at this person's house, that guy grabbed me in the hallway. And he just walked up to me and said, you know, I remember you from the last party and I was thinking what great tits you have. And he just grabbed my boobs. And like, I'm a pretty open person. I don't mind a little groping every now and then, but it was super inappropriate. And it was clear that he had no idea it was inappropriate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like just no tact or interpersonal skills at all.
Oh, geez.
So yeah. George came out. I was waiting to go in the bathroom and George came out of the bathroom and I was like, this guy over here just, you know, groped me, like making a joke about it, but letting him know that it wasn't okay. And so George started calling him Grabby McGee. So every time we saw him, we called him Grabby McGee. And then our other friend had a similar experience with him. Mm. Well, so the four of us are sitting there and the other girl who wasn't with us said, oh my God, I had an experience with him too. He gave me a hard time when we were about to play about putting a condom on.
Ooh.
And then when he did put it on, complained
that
it didn't fit and it didn't feel good and blah, blah, blah. So the four of us realize that each of us has had a bad experience with this guy and that had the first one told the rest of us, we could have avoided these incidents altogether.
Well, George just needs to teach how to be a single dude in the lifestyle, like, class.
You know, you can't teach these kids.
That's true.
That's true.
You just can't. You know, it's like basic manners and tact. Yeah. Just because I'm a swinger doesn't mean you can come up and stick your hand in my pants. I mean, come on. So I was like, listen, enough is enough. We have to, like, unionize. We need to start talking about this shit because I'm tired of wasting my Saturday night or having these horrible experiences when one of us has already had it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a waste of time.
Yeah.
So we have started now talking and sharing stories, and it has saved us months, I swear. It's like we all realize one of us will bring up a name, and we have all had the same experience. Like, this guy has flaked on all of us at least once. This one we think is married. And
oh, Lord.
You know, or right. Or this one...
I was guessing the flake was probably married. I mean, why else would he be flaking?
Right. They all do. They all do. Because the younger ones are of this entitled generation. Like, they want you to drive to them on a Thursday at 7 p.m. And if you can't make it, they're like, meh, I don't want to do it. Literally, it's ridiculous. They flake. They reschedule. It's very, very common. And so our first thing actually is, have they ever flaked? How many times have they flaked? How many times have they rescheduled? If it's more than twice, we're all done with you.
Such an and art. So
you guys need a chat room is what you need, or like a message board.
We do. We have one.
You do?
So, yeah.
Where?
You know how alpha I am. I'm not telling you that.
She probably has like a Facebook, like a group.
Actually, there, you guys could probably do it on Reddit and just like have this Dallas women's... What?
Private. Otherwise, no one feels comfortable telling the truth. Because the thing is, we're not here to like lambast anybody or talk shit. This is literally like... Playing. This guy is weird. He gave me a weird vibe. He canceled on me 3 times in a row. I think he's married. You know, that kind of stuff. It's like, we shouldn't all have to go through those experiences.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And by the same token, if one or more of us vouches for a guy, then he's good. He's good to go in our book. And I would never vouch for somebody that would not treat my friends with the utmost respect. Now, out of the 70 or 75 guys that we've discussed so far, there are exactly 3 that we've all approved.
Literally. Well, they must have all 3 been at the last party because there was definitely a change from the first one to the second.
They absolutely were. And the ones that we've discussed, even if they haven't screwed me over, if they've screwed two of them over, then they're done. They're gone.
That's awesome.
Well, and so they're going to figure out that we're talking to each other quickly enough, or they're dumb and they won't. I don't know. But you're not going to be able to just keep going through your list. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Well, it is kind of promising, and maybe this will help people out there that are looking for a single guy but intimidated, you know, meeting them. The experiences that we've had with your friends has changed my perception of single guys in the lifestyle.
Because, there really are great ones out there, but it takes some digging to find them.
Yeah, it takes, having a friend like Sam that's going to do all the dirty work.
And listen, for every one good one, you got to go through 30 or 40 bad ones. I'm sure. I know that it's horrible, but it's the truth.
I'm sure.
But I'm hanging on to those good ones. Like, you know, they're gold to me. So we treat them very well.
They need like understudies is what they need.
I know.
There should be a mentorship program.
Yes.
They need some sort of medal like on SDC so you can see that they've been unicorn approved, you know?
Well, isn't there something along those lines? I've noticed George has got some sort of like icon.
It's called Preferred Single Guy, but there are some real douchebags that have that too. I don't know what you have to do to get it. I think be online for a certain amount of time and have a certain number of validations and you get it. I don't really know, but yeah, that's not always a good indicator.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, let's. Any good stories about a single guy lately? Give us some.
Well, my new one is fantastic. He was at the party.
Was this the professional athlete?
Professional athlete. Oh, yeah. That's not what he does for a living.
Okay, I didn't know. That's all I had heard.
Yeah. The one with the dimples.
Yes.
Well, that's over my head.
Like you didn't notice his dimples, T. I know you loved him too.
You totally did. Yeah, he was cute.
Yeah, he was. That was his first party ever.
Yeah, so...
So you broke him in.
I did. I throw him in the deep end. You know how I roll.
That's nice.
I met him... Where did I meet him? No. I met him on SDC. That's right. I met him on SDC, and he didn't think I was real, and I didn't think he was real. And so I asked him for a coffee date. That Saturday morning. So I met him for coffee Saturday morning. And he was in fact real, as was I. And we got along famously and we started talking about the lifestyle, and he had gone to some clubs like 3 or 4 times with an ex-girlfriend where he used to live. He has just moved to Dallas. And was really curious about it. And he's like, you know, I'm working so much and traveling so much. I don't have time for like the traditional relationship. So I figured I'd give this a go. Why not? And he's adorable, and so he's not going to have any problem finding women. So I said, listen, I'm having this party tonight, and you really should come. And he's like, oh, I have this thing I have to go to. I signed up for it. I don't think I can get out of it, and I have a family, like, kid's birthday party I have to go to. And I'm like, okay, well, you're missing out. And I pulled up – I had my iPad with me, and I pulled up the guest list, and I just sort of handed it to him. He's like, damn it. And so – about like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I get a phone call and he's like, you know, I think I'm going to get out of this thing I have to do tonight. I think I should just come to your party. And I said, I think that would be a fantastic idea. Nice. And I said, listen, this is not a small one. There were 100 people there?
Were there? 80.
Yeah. It was 80 on the guest list and people brought people. Mm. So
is that allowed?
Not really. But, you know, at that point, people are calling and they're like, hey, we've got a single girl in town. You mind if we bring her? And it's like, yeah, whatever. You know, honestly, I walked into the kitchen at one point and I was like, who the fuck are all these people?
I remember standing outside and hearing you say that. Who the hell is that?
I was like, who are these people? They're hot, but like, I don't, you know, anyway. So, yeah.
So anyway, overall, was the party a success in your mind?
Oh yeah, I think it was. Okay. I think it was one for the record books for sure. Yeah, but funny. So he called me. I told him to come, and you know, he did call me. And he's like, meet me outside, and I'm like, okay. So I said, well, I don't have any like clothes on, but I'll meet you near the front door. So he came in, and I immediately took him to the back to bang one out because we hadn't slept together yet. And I'm like, do you mind if we run to the back and bang one out real quick? Because someone's going to take you the second I walk in, and I'm never going to get back to you. And he's like, yeah, sure, whatever.
Sure.
So we go in the back, have a little quickie, and I'm like, okay, does that take some of the edge off? He's like, yeah. I'm good. All right, let's go. So I brought him out. I introduced him to everybody. And he's just a really social guy. So he did fine, you know, never met a stranger kind of guy. And the girls, of course, just loved him. And
I don't know what happened to us. Were we?
She offered right there when she was heading back there. She's like, you guys want to go?
Or something.
No, we were sitting on the couch.
It was inside. He came inside. I never got him outside because I knew if I got him by the pool, it'd be over. Like someone would take him from me. So when we all went in and were playing in the middle, in the main room, you know, the big puppy pile, he was sitting on the couch. And one of the other unicorns, I looked up and she had turned around and taken his pants off and she was on top of him. Mm. So he did her. And then later, one of our other couple friends, somebody was locked up in that back room. And so I was like, well, let's just go in the front. So me and him and another couple went in the front and we played just the four of us. And so he did the wife. So he did like three or four people at his first party.
Good for him.
I know. And it came every time. I'm like, you're a champ, man. Awesome. Work it out. So I was very proud. I was very proud.
Nice.
That's awesome. Well,
apparently it was a good get.
Yeah, he did well. And so, the girls were thrilled.
Have you seen him since?
No, he was out of town for business. I think he has a girl coming in town. I think the girl that he used to go to the swinger clubs with. And so we may get together with some couples, or he's asking me for a preferred single guy, a unicorn approved single guy. So I may send one his way for her, but I haven't seen him myself.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. You know, I like to share the wealth.
Yeah. Sharing is caring.
And if you're not sharing, it's not swinging.
Exactly. That's as right. George, that ain't swinging.
That ain't swinging.
If you're sleeping with the person you brought with you, that ain't swinging. Get it together.
Good point.
Oh, y'all. So last weekend, oh mercy. Y'all missed this one. So last weekend, George had swinger friends from the cruise come in town from all over. Some from Louisiana, some from Austin. So a bunch of them were coming in town. Labor Day weekend. Was that last weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, that feels like forever ago. So they were all coming in town for the long weekend. And George was like, well, I really want to show them a good time. I want them to meet all of our Dallas people because that cruise gotten pretty big. And so I was like, well, I don't know what I can pull together last minute, but let me see what I can get going. So one of my single guys actually had off work. So he flew in from Colorado to be my date. So he came in Saturday. And then we got all of the regular people and we all went out and met at Colette. So there were probably, I want to say, 15, 20 couples.
Wow.
We just rolled in to Colette. It was something else. Yeah, we did. But then it got super, super crowded. So, of course, I had to be the party starter. And I was the first one back there playing. It was me and my date from Colorado and two couples.
You guys playing?
In that semi-private room. That's my favorite one now. Okay, so here's a pro tip. When you go back there, so they're little beds.
Mm-hmm.
And there's three lined up together against a wall. And they're separated by sheer curtains. And there's sheer curtains on the front of them. Those are the semi-private rooms. People can see in and they're not supposed to touch you, but they do. But anywho.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get into that one that's the big long bank, you can open up the sheer curtains in between the beds and make one long bed. And from my recent experience, it fits about 35 people.
Oh my gosh.
So
Studies have shown. Oh, that's fun.
Field data indicates that you can fit roughly 35 bodies in there if that's tangled in a mass. So we went back there and started. There were probably six of us. And lots of people were rotating through. Lots of looky-loos and watchers and whatnot. Finally, the whole group kind of glommed on and got back there. And it was insanity. Like, to the point where I would see somebody down at the end. And I'm like, hey! And I'd try to, like, crawl over bodies get down to the end. Because you didn't want to get out. Because there were, like, five people deep standing out there watching. So it was insanity. Finally, at like one point, my date got a little overwhelmed. This was his first like group scenario.
Oh, wow.
And so at one point, he did great too. He had like at least four of the wives. Yeah, four, I think, that I can think of. And, you know, the little one that you like, she was there. He had her. And so he got up and put his clothes on. And I was like, I better go check on him. So I got dressed and went out there. And he's like, I just needed a minute. It got a little overwhelming. I said, listen, that was overwhelming even for me. There were a lot of people in there, and there were probably 50 people watching. So wow. I understand if you're done.
I don't think that room's that big.
It's really tight when they're in there. I could not get out. I'm like holding my clothes. I'm like, excuse me, pardon me. Excuse me. Like, you literally have to push people out of your way to get out of the room that you were just having sex in.
Oh, God.
I know. It's a lot for someone's first experience.
Oh, yeah.
I feel kind of bad throwing them into that, but, you know.
Oh, yeah. Poor guy.
That's sort of how it goes. You're just going to have to figure it out.
Sink or swim.
Yeah. So that was just like a random Saturday that we threw together. And, like, literally, people in the club were going up to people in our group, and they're like, who are you people? And like, are you all like a group? Who are you? How do we meet you? Like, what is going on back there? You know, because we were the only ones playing, and we were all playing together. Yeah. You know. Anyway, it was funny.
Like a traveling orgy show.
I know. It's kind of turned into that.
Speaking of traveling orgies, why don't you catch us up on your travels? So last time we talked to you, I don't think you had gone on your trip with George to Desire yet.
I think we were at our friend's house in Dallas because we were flying out the next day.
Yes, it was the night before.
And it sounds like you had stories before that as well. But why don't you bring us up to speed on the trip to Desire.
Desire, what? Now, this was my first trip to anything like that. You know, George has been to Hedo a million times, and he had never been to Desire either, but he's done the cruise a bunch of times. So we had a couple from Dallas go at the same time as us, so we kind of linked up with them, and then he had a big group of people from the cruises that live in North Carolina, and they were all going at the same time, too. So there were probably 15 couples that we were going to know when we got there.
And is this Pearl or Riviera Maya?
Riviera Maya.
Okay.
So it's right outside Cancun, and I got deathly ill on the plane on the way there. That's right. Yeah, I threw up on the way there. So I get off the plane, and George has dropped his duty-free bag, and his bottle of rum is broken all over his suitcase.
Oh, no.
Like liquor. And I feel horrible, and I'm sure smell like vomit. And it's about 112 degrees, and we're both just standing there like, hooray, you know.
Vacation.
Olé, viva la Mexico. Anyway, so we get in the van, and we go to the hotel, and we check in and clean up and head to the pool. And I'm, like, wearing a swimsuit at this point because I don't really know what's going on, and I'm a little nervous. And it's beautiful, beautiful grounds, great staff. Great rooms. The facility is just gorgeous. And basically what it consists of is you get up in the morning and you go eat breakfast, clothed typically, and you drink your coffee and you kind of say hi to everybody and you know, mingle around the buffet area. And then you go back to your room and you change into your swimsuit and you go out to the pool. And then you basically get naked and you stay in the pool all day long, naked, drinking cocktails, socializing, whatnot. Then you throw something gauzy on and you have dinner, and then you go to the nightclub that's on premises, and there's always a costume. There's a theme every night. Mm-hmm. So you costume up, you meet everybody at the club, and you party till probably like 2 or 3. Then you go upstairs to the hot tub area and get naked up there, and there's beds up there too. And then you go to bed around 4 or 5, and that sort of repeats for 7 days or however long you stay. Well, now, our deal with Desire, the time that we were there, I think it depends on what couples are there when you're there as to how much playing happens in public, because no one was playing. And George was frustrated, to say the least. Mm-hmm. And literally, we would go into, there's a playroom also in the club, and we would go in there and there'd be nobody in there. And so we would start playing. We'd be in there for like an hour, and people would walk in, walk out. No one would ever be playing in there. We would go up to the hot tub at 2 a.m, and there's 5 beds out there by the hot tub. No one would play. We'd go over there and play, hoping to, like, you know, start the party like we do. Nobody would come over. Nobody would play. And so we could not figure out what was going on. And we really had to do a lot of the initiating, like, going up to couples, introducing ourselves, talking to people, you know, it was a lot of work, to be honest. And we were both, after like 2 or 3 days, we're like, this is exhausting. Like, I'm tired of this. What is going on? And so some of the couples that we knew, well, I didn't know them, but he did, and I met them while we were there. They would play, but they wanted to go back to the room and do it privately. So we had a couple of times with, let's see, we had 3 couples at one point and 2 couples at one point, and then 1 couple a couple of times. So we did get plenty of play. It's not like we didn't have any action, but there was no like public group play, which is kind of what we're used to. And I was like, you know, I think we're just spoiled. I think we have such a group of people that are players that we're spoiled to it a little bit. And we kind of expect that everywhere we go, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And like, I was like, listen, I'm just going to switch my attitude to this trip. And it's just going to be like relaxing Mexico, naked in the pool, fun time, you know? And so once I sort of shifted my expectation of what it was going to be like, it was like, I just sort of let it go. I'm like, yeah, if somebody comes up to us and wants to go do something, great. And if not, I'm done working at it. I'm just going to enjoy being in the sun and lay around naked. It's pretty great to be naked all day and drink cocktails.
Yeah.
So I was totally cool with it. And then like the last, we left on a Saturday. I'm going to say the Friday, a whole bunch of people left and a whole new crew of people came in, and all of those people wanted to play in public. So like we go upstairs to the hot tub and there's like 30 people playing. We're like, what in the hell?
Yeah. So it's really
it's just like the luck of the draw. Yeah. It's whoever you're there with. Now I've heard some of our Dallas people have been there when there was an SDC takeover, mm-hmm. and they said that it was like, you couldn't get space to play because everybody was playing. So I think the key is getting a bunch of people to go with you, or that's not the kind of vacation you're going to have, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Like there were a lot of people there on their honeymoons and on like anniversary trips. And so they were there just together and it was like a romantic trip for them. And they weren't really socializing with other people that much.
Did anybody get married naked on the beach?
Not that I know of, because, but I would not be surprised.
Well, we're going in December, and I keep telling T, I'm like, let's just get married while we're there. He's like, no.
No, our parents would be horrified.
Yes.
I really do think that it was more nudists than swingers when we were there, I think. But I think that the scales do tip in favor of the swingers at some points. You just kind of have to know when you're going. And honestly, for me, either is fine. I don't really care. I'm fine to just be lazy and naked.
Yeah.
And eat
That's how I feel too. But I'm worried that T may not share that same. Well, we just need to go in with that attitude. Yeah.
You do. And like, think of it as a nudist vacation. And if you get to have sex with random strangers, then that's gravy, you know? Yeah. But, and listen, we played a lot. I'm not saying we didn't, but we are so spoiled with what we normally do on a weekend. Like an average Saturday is like I just said, like Colette, there was like 50 people having sex. I mean, it's insanity. So you can't expect that level all the time. I mean, I think we've just gotten a little too big for our britches, maybe.
Yeah, you guys kind of live in a fantasy world.
Yeah.
We do. We really do. And so now if it was Hedo, it'd be a totally different thing. Plus, keep in mind that Desire only has like 100 rooms. So it's smaller. It's much, much smaller. Hedo has like 700 or something like that. So it's just a different animal. It's more of a nudist kind of couples deal than Hedo is. Yeah. It's more of a naked vacation than a sex vacation.
Well, I mean, even looking at their website, you kind of get that impression.
Yeah.
You know.
Now, would I go back? Totally. I would love, what I would love to do is basically block the place out, get all of our people, you know, like the 3 or 4 couples we know
here,
and then all of our Dallas and Austin people, and just all go at the same time.
That would be fun. Why don't you work on that?
Yeah.
I'm exhausted from the last one. I'll work for next.
Yeah,
I think
let's do it next year.
We're going to do it next summer, probably next July, when all of the teachers are out of school, because there's a lot of us, and a lot of kids are at the grandparents or at camp. So we all go.
It's a good thought.
Man, it really makes me look at like our kids' teachers. Like which of these?
I can probably tell you.
Oh my God! Well, we had a second grade teacher last year.
Yeah.
That was kind of, she was pretty but really shy, And what were we doing?
We were looking at pictures from like a flirt party or something online, and we swear we saw her.
Oh my god, there was this totally hot, like naked chick, and we're like, gosh, oh my god,
that's his teacher.
That's his teacher. Probably.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's a lot of teachers and nurses. A lot.
Freaks.
I always say it's because we like to fix the broken ones, and a lot of these swinger men are a little bit broken.
That's true. That's true. Work hard. Work there hard. Are some play great hard words too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So what any other fun stories of being a single girl in the lifestyle?
Oh man, it's pretty exhausting. You know what's funny? We were trying to plan this weekend, and it's some of the crew's birthday this weekend, so we're all getting together, and you know what that means. I'm sure trouble's gonna follow. But we all went to Medieval Times a couple of weeks ago. Oh, man, that was fun.
Saw
that.
I saw some pictures.
Yeah, we had so much fun. We do, what people got to understand is we do tons of vanilla stuff together, too. Like, we're really legitimately friends, you know? It's not just this shallow, superficial sort of enterprise. We really do enjoy each other's company. We've made a good group of friends. And I think you can kind of feel that, you know, when you hang out with us at parties. It's like, these are really good people, and we like them on a lot of levels. So we all went to Medieval Times, and this weekend we're all going to Six Flags. And I think we might go ice skating on Sunday. We haven't really decided yet, but
I want to go to Six Flags.
Yeah. And so we're trying to figure out the swinger portion of the weekend. And George and I were talking about, he's got a couple coming in from out of town, and just us meeting them for dinner. And I was like, you know, I realize I have never done that. And he's like, done what? I said, I've never gone out with just a couple. It's either me and a single guy or me and 12 people. I have never done a double date, like two couples, or I've never met as a single girl, met a couple out. I've never done it. Isn't that weird?
It is weird.
Because that's like the typical swinger experience, I think, isn't it?
Well, we haven't really had much of that.
Oh, yeah, I guess not.
We've done that.
Do you like our meet first... a couple?
We did that like our first weekend in Dallas.
I'm less comfortable with that, to be honest. Especially if it's somebody that we don't know. Now it'd be different if it was like you guys, or if it was somebody that we knew.
Yeah.
But if we're meeting somebody for the first time, that makes me uncomfortable, just because I feel like there's almost a level of, it's like going on a date as a single girl. Like, I don't want to lead them on if I'm not interested, and I don't know how to draw that line, you know?
Yeah. Well, especially since the women in the lifestyle.
Everybody always says there's no expectation of anything. I'm like, that's bullshit. Like, everybody wants to get laid. That's why we're here.
Exactly.
Like, give me a break.
Yeah. I mean, obviously you don't have to do something you don't want to do, but you feel like you've already, like, here we are sitting down to dinner, and especially if we're, like T was trying to say, if we're attracted to her.
Right.
And usually that's the case. Okay. She's cute, she's hot. And here's her husband, who I have no interest in, you know, and sometimes don't even really want to be sitting at the same table with. How do you navigate that? And so
I don't know if it's just me, A, but honestly, I start to get pissed off. I'm like furious that this dude thinks that he has the right to come up and think that he's going to get with me. Like, it pisses me off. And I'm like, God damn it, how come he always gets the hot one? And then I'm expected to sit here with the troll husband. This is bullshit.
Oh, that's funny. Well, it is a little different, I think, from where I sit, because here I am. Part of my enjoyment here is watching T have fun. And so, you know, there's part of me that's like, oh, I'm invested in that. So do I take one for the team? You know, I know that the answer is no, but that's why I'm more comfortable, like at, say, your pool party, because there's a lot more options and more comfort, and I don't have to feel like it's us and these two people.
Yeah. And you know, the thing about the parties too, that I've found is that you don't have to have sex with the couple. Everybody's sort of playing and you can pick who you want in the group, whether you're with his wife and he's with you, and you know, it's a lot more fluid in that situation.
And speaking of that, let me just butt in.
No pun intended.
Right. Yeah. With that being said, A like to work the room and not just be with one. She enjoyed several.
I enjoyed being the fluffer.
I know. I was the fluffer a lot too.
Yeah.
That's
you girls are so good at it.
I know. Me being the hostess. And here's the thing. So let's say there's a soft penis in the room. And I'm like, well, that's a shame. Let me help out with that. And then it gets hard. I turn around and he's fucking somebody. I'm like, wait a minute. What the? Aww. Wait a minute. That happened like 5 times. I'm like, this is really fucked up. Like,
that
how come
so I funny. Get that
penis? It happens all the time.
It's like you look away for 2 seconds and it's inside somebody
yes,
else.
Yes, and somebody's gotten him.
Oh gosh.
And George is like, I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with you. I don't know why the other girls keep getting them. You need to just get in there.
Just
like,
yeah, hey, just keep your hand on it when you take it out of your mouth. Just keep your hand
I'm
on it.
I'm gonna start having to like tag it and yes. you know tie a fishing line to it or something. Oh, I don't God. Know. But you know, everybody has a good time and that ends up I think it pays dividends later. It benefits me in the long run, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
But seriously, I do not have these parties with the expectation or the desire that I'm going to like create a name for myself and everybody's going to want to come to my parties and all this jazz. I literally am throwing these parties, started, continue to throw these parties for myself. It is a completely selfish endeavor.
It's to weed out the single men.
Yes. And I want to weed out the great couples. I want hot guys. I want couples with good looking husbands where they're equal and they're charming and they can play. And I want them for myself. This is absolutely not about anyone else's enjoyment. I don't care about anyone else. I want them for me.
It's just an added benefit that the rest of us
benefit
from.
And so if everybody has a good time, great. But don't get it twisted. This is not about you. I don't care.
Aw, that's why we love you.
This is saving me time. Seriously. It's like I get so much done on a party day. And like I invite newbies and new couples that don't normally get invited to stuff. And like we had like 11 new couples at that last party.
Wow.
And like 3 or 4 of them turned out to be fantastic and like on the permanent invite list, just really good looking. I've got my eye on one that I'm like chasing them down. I've got to stop because it's going to get embarrassing soon. And so we found some really great new couples, and that's fun too. When you throw your own party, you get to invite whoever you want. You can invite all these brand new couples that nobody else would probably invite because they don't know. It's an unknown factor, you know? And yeah. That's great. That's fun for me. I like introducing people to the lifestyle, especially with our group, because I think they're particularly good looking and friendly and charming and easy to get along with.
Mm-hmm.
And I like for that to be someone's first experience. Yeah. You know, it's fun for me to do that. I dig it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just need your own reality TV show.
Oh my God. But I'd have to show my face. See, that's why all mm-hmm. these swinger shows have failed miserably, is because most swingers are down low. They keep
yeah.
it hidden.
Yeah.
And so it's not really reality of mm-hmm. how most swingers live. They never could do it. They'd have to hide your identity somehow. And how are they going to do that?
Yeah.
Just walk around with a camera about breast high and it doesn't show any heads.
I'll wear a GoPro all the time.
There you go.
Just strap a GoPro on. Yeah.
We could probably shoot that pilot. I bet that would get picked up.
If nothing else, sure it'd be fun for us to watch.
Yeah.
I'm sure it would. God, we've actually got a lot of good single male. Oh, I know what else I figured out recently is that, so when we're sitting around talking about the single men, right? There are 2 married women and 2 single women, 2 unicorns, 2 married women. And we all play with single men a lot. So when we're talking about a guy, the married women would have 1 experience with a guy and the unicorns would have had a completely different experience with the guy. And it occurred to me that single males are completely different with a woman when the husband is in the room than they are when it's just us.
Yeah.
And
what is that difference?
They are far more aggressive
mm-hmm.
and sort of degrading and really aggressive. Is the main thing, and sort of entitled and just dirtier and nastier and aggressive to the point where like,
is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a bad thing.
Okay.
We were both talking about 2 males that we had been discussing that we had both played with. We had all played with, I think. And I'm like, no, he really turned me off. It was just too much. Like, you know, it was uncomfortable and, you know, I didn't enjoy it. And I just sort of like waited for it to be done. And the other unicorn was like, yeah, that was exactly the experience I had. And the 2 wives were like, what are you talking about? He was so sweet and gentle. And I'm like, are we talking about the same fucking guy? And then we started talking about another one, and it was the same thing. And I said, you know what it is? It's because your husband was standing in the room. Mm-hmm. He wasn't going to say those things to you and act that way with you, with your husband standing there. And that dawned on me. And it doesn't feel very good. Yeah, you know, wow. it's a weird realization to know that these men are going to treat you differently because there's not a man there mm-hmm. to protect you from it.
Yeah.
That's weird.
It is weird. And we've found at least 3 or 4 males where that's the case. And I'm sure that everybody is a little bit different when there's the husband there watching, because obviously you would be, sure. you know, and that's to be expected. But like the level to which they get really physical and aggressive and kind of degrading cool. when there's not a male there, I was like, wow, that's really creepy. Mm-hmm. Like that is a turn off. And so while the married women enjoyed their experiences with those guys, after hearing our experiences with them, they're like, oh, ugh. Like, no, mm-hmm. I don't want to be with a person like that. You know, it is not just about the fucking as much as people like to think it is. It's not. You have to have a connection with these people mm-hmm. beyond that. And when you find out that someone is like that, especially with people that you know, you're much less likely to want to get naked with them in the future.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Way.
Yeah.
It tells you a lot about their character and what kind of people they really are. Yeah, you know, sure. I don't know, but you know, we always know that we're kind of at risk if we're single females doing this, but it's unpleasant to really have it thrown in your face like that. You're like, wow. Okay. Yeah.
Well,
he said those things because I didn't have a man in the room. Great.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting is we have a lot of listeners that are single guys wanting to be in the lifestyle. So I'm sure hopefully these guys are out there taking notes right now on how to do it right and how to not do it.
I swear it's not that complicated. Just don't be a douchebag. Yeah. Like, answer emails. If you are interested, say so. If you're not, say so. Or you don't even have to say so, but just ghost out. But don't send me a text every 3 days for 5 months. Like, just disappear. That's cool. Just go away. I get it. I can read a signal. But there's so many. Don't be married. How about that?
Yeah, that's
rule number
one.
Well, that's probably the toughest one.
Guy texting me the other. I had this guy texting me that I met on SDC, and keep in mind he has a profile on a swinger website. Mm-hmm. So we go from SDC to texting after like 3 weeks or so. So we have each other's phone number, and he's asking me for pictures, and I usually ask a guy for a face picture through text so I can attach it to his contact, because let's be honest, I have a lot of men in my phone, and mm-hmm. I need to see a picture when the text pops up so I know who the hell I'm talking to.
Yeah.
So that's usually one of the
hashtag
first things
swinger
I do.
Problems.
Swinger problems.
Hashtag swinger problems. Horror problems was really more appropriate. So I send a face pic of me with my phone number, and I ask for one back. So he sends me a face pic, and then he asked me for more pictures. Well, I, as a swinger, happen to have a few on my phone, and they're varying stages of dirty, you know, some more filthy than others. And so I send him some relatively tame ones. And I'm like, well, he pays me some compliment, you know, you're hot or whatever. I'm like, please feel free to return the favor. And he's like, well, I don't do that. I'm like, I'm sorry? What now? He's like, I don't do that. I have daughters. I'm like, are you like claiming some fucking moral high ground on me?
Right.
Is he horse shaming you?
And I'm like, what the fuck are we talking about here, bro? Like, I met you on a swinger website, you douchebag. And so I'm like, fuck this dude. And I sort of backed off, and I immediately, of course, told all my girlfriends about it. Well, I did a cursory search on him, and he pops up with his beautiful wife and 4 children.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, oh, I can't wait for him to text me again so I can just text him the picture of his Facebook with him and his 4 children.
Oh, no.
It's going to be fucking awesome.
So does that mean you had his actual, like, email address? I mean,
well, I'm not going to tell you all my secrets.
Well, because that's one thing that I do is pull up the, but I'm always like, you idiot. If you, first of all, well, rule number one, don't be married. But rule number two, if you are married, you idiot, get a different email address. Like,
yeah.
Seriously?
Well, I have multiple ways, and they haven't figured it out yet, so I'm not telling you.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. I understand.
I can find them, and they don't realize it, and it creeps them the fuck out when I. Because here's what they do: all of the single males use a fake name, which is just stupid. It's like you're using a fake name that is John and your real name is Chad. Like, who cares? I mean, God, like, I can find you because your name is Jason. Calm yeah. down. Just tell me your real name. So they always use a fake name, and I do a search, and then I send them a picture of their, you know, Twitter or their LinkedIn or whatever with their real name. I'm like, are you done yet? Are you going to tell me what your real name is? Because here, obviously, I know where you work and what your name is. And I'm like, that's really creepy. I'm like, it's Google, you moron. Like, I'm a single female. Do you really think I would meet some random dude off the internet without doing a cursory Google search? Like, get your shit together. So then they finally acknowledge that that's their real name. And then I get out of them whether or not they have a girlfriend and whether or not they have a wife. I mean, I'm telling you, this happens like 70, 80% of the time.
I believe it.
So what if you find out, are there, and this isn't a question just to you, but maybe to all of the girls, is anyone comfortable with playing with married men?
I do.
Okay. I feel like we've talked about this. Have. Okay.
Yeah, I do. It's under, and we've talked about it. The girls have talked about it. And the unicorn said, you know, she's like, honestly, I want a more long-term sort of friend with benefits situation. And if they're married, that kind of precludes any deeper connection that we're going to ever have. So I just don't bother, mm-hmm. you know? And I'm like, well, that makes sense. But a lot of married men that I know in Dallas, anyway, in the lifestyle that do play separately, they are happily married and they've had the same girl that they've played with for years. They're sort of like pseudo girlfriends. So you can kind of have a long-term relationship depending on what their deal is with their mm-hmm. wife. I know a couple where they both have, she has a boyfriend and he has a girlfriend. And they go out together sometimes. They go out with the girlfriend or the boyfriend sometimes. Sometimes they all four go out together.
So
you know?
They're in on it. So it's not like a behind the back kind of thing.
Right, right. And so, you know, there are some where, we were talking about, if the guy always comes to Dallas for business and he only plays there, and the wife doesn't know, and she's far away, and this is, you know, there's all these weird stipulations where you can wrap your head around it. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's a case-by-case situation for me. It depends on whether or not I think the guy's a total dirtbag, and whether or not she knows about it, whether or not they've played together, and she knows but just doesn't want to know the details, because that's kind of how most of them are, mm-hmm. where she's done it a couple times and didn't really dig it. And so she doesn't really mind him doing it when he's away, but she doesn't want to hear about it.
Yeah.
So that is more often how it goes. And so in those situations, I don't really mind. I know that no one's going to come knocking on my door. I know that I am not in any way fucking up her family or her life, or there's no connection between me and him, and he's going to be gone and home with her, you know, tomorrow. And that's the end of it. Mm-hmm. But that's very, very rare. That's happened maybe twice. So it just depends. It's a case-by-case basis. Yeah. Now, for instance, the one who I found out is married and is trying to date in Dallas with his wife and four kids 2 miles away, no, of course not.
Yeah.
She doesn't know about this. And, you know, no, that's not going to ever be okay. Yeah. But lots of people have varying states of open marriages, and it's not up to me to decide or pry or figure all that out.
Right. Sure. Yeah, not your problem.
Exactly.
What do you say we wrap this up, and okay. Why don't you tell us when the next major party is that we need to attend, and we'll
is next month.
What was that?
My birthday is next month.
Oh, yay.
All right.
Oh, boy. So I'm kind of thinking, I swore I wouldn't do this again so soon because it's exhausting, but I've really been wanting to do a hotel party where I get a whole floor of rooms, one, so that I don't have to clean it all up, but where like four of the rooms will be like food and drink and play rooms, and then the other will be like our friends from out of town will take those rooms so that they can sleep there. You know, they'll be like private.
Mm-hmm.
Or go off and play. Like, we have one couple that always grabs a couple and runs away, and George says it's like they're batting the mouse and then taking it under the couch. So he says they're taking them under the couch means and it's the facilitator and her mm-hmm. husband.
Yeah.
We're like, they're going to take a couple and go take them under the couch now. So anyway, so they'll have a room to take them under the couch. And then, you know, if you guys came, you would have a room, and then we would have a room so that we didn't have to go back anywhere. So that's kind of my vision, is that we'll get like one of those small boutique hotels that only has like 8 or 10 rooms a floor,
mm-hmm.
and just get the whole floor. so that we can just go from room to room.
Well, give us some advance notice so we can make the stars align so we can make it.
Yeah,
doesn't that sound fun though?
It does sound like fun.
That would be fun.
Yeah, it's like a block party except naked and in a hotel.
Awesome.
That's my vision anyway.
Sweet. Sounds good.
Now listen, listeners, this is a small one because it's my birthday, so don't get any ideas. Like, it's gonna be like, it's not gonna be 80 again this time. 40 maybe.
Yeah.
Which means 60.
Yeah. It's gonna say,
anyway.
Yeah, 80 quickly.
Fun will be had. We can count on that.
Yeah.
Well, Sam, we appreciate you joining us again.
Always. Good to talk to you guys. Hope to see you.
Yeah, we miss you guys.
Well, come on. Y'all will be ready to go in a month, right?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Ready to go right now.
All right. Well, you know, if you just get a wild hair and you drive down, let me know and I'll throw something together.
Yeah, get all those guys together so that I can redeem myself.
I can do that.
And we've also learned.
Hey, what if it was me and you and like 10 of them?
Oh gosh, I'm not ready for that. But it sounds really fun.
Eight of them. How many can you take?
Ooh.
Like three?
So, yeah, all that sounds really fun. I'm going to touch myself and think about it, but I'm not sure I can actually perform.
She's all talk.
You're
at this point.
All talk. I'm all talk.
Your money is.
Exactly. I know. I forget who I'm talking to.
She'll be your fluffer.
You know I take you seriously. I will make that happen.
I know. I feel safe saying that from 200 miles away, but.
Anytime. Yeah,
she'll call you out on it.
I know.
I absolutely will.
All right.
All right, Sam. Thank you. Have a good night.
Talk to you later.
Thanks again for listening to another episode of The Curious Couple for The Curious Ear with TNA. You can find us at thecuriouscouple.com, email us at thecuriouscpl@gmail.com, and find us at Twitter with the same handle. Be sure to check out sdc.com for your free one-month membership with our promo code 25648. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. We always appreciate your ratings and reviews. Catch you next time.